you, because I actually experienced it for the first time back in back-to-back years, actually, in 1986, December 9th, number two ranked Indiana came into town, Bobby Knight and his group, and the Vanderbilt Commodores walked off that court with a 79-75 victory. And the very next year, December of 87, number one ranked North Carolina in the house, and Vanderbilt won that game 78-76. Another opportunity for Vanderbilt tomorrow night with number one ranked Tennessee coming to town.
Well, Johnny, Vanderbilt is 8-18 all time against number one teams, and I know just off the top of my head that I've been there for three. 93 when they Kentucky moved to number one on Monday, and the Commodores knocked them off the very next night in the late ESPN game. And I tell you, my ears were ringing because the noise, that's when we were up in the crow's nest for the press box, and the noise just rises in that building and bounces and rolls off of the cinder block. And so my ears were ringing for hours after that. I was there in 2008 when they knocked off Tennessee again on a Tuesday after they moved up to number one on a Monday. And then I was there, like, for, I'm remembering, for a Florida number one upset. So that's happened a lot. And that's the thing. That's what Bryce Drew talked about this afternoon, that maybe they can add to the lore of the upsets at Memorial Gym, because it's an opportunity. It's a huge opportunity. You got number one coming in. It's an in-state rival. Yes, we know that the Commodores have been struggling, that they're 0-5 in league play for the first time in program history. But, you know, they've been good enough. They've had some leads. Shoot, they were up 12 early against Kentucky at Rupp Arena. So, you know, can this very young team maybe pull things together in the light of a rivalry game? Well, that's why they play the games. I've walked into that gym many a time, Johnny, where there was expected to be no chance of a win for the home team, and seen the Commodores pull it off. So now, unlike 2008, these Commodores are not 18th in the country, and, you know, so this is a different team. But that's the beauty of sports. You get a chance to rise to a moment.
Yeah, the stat, the 8-18 against number one teams inside the Memorial Gym, Vanderbilt, this will be the 16th time Vanderbilt has taken on a number one inside Memorial Gym, where they're 6-9, has not happened as far as a win over a number one at Memorial Gym since beating Florida back in 2014. It is interesting, you've got Tennessee, the fact that they're number one only for the second time, and their very first time out back then, they lose to Vanderbilt in Nashville. And so here, their first opportunity to defend that number one ranking, they have to get by Vanderbilt again this week.
Irony, thy name is sports. That's why we tune in. That's why we keep coming back, Johnny. But that said, this is a far different team. You know, that Tennessee team was coming off an emotional win in Memphis. That place was packed. You know, Eli and Peyton Manning were there. It was just an amazing atmosphere that night in Memphis. And then the turnaround, you know, was it not even 72 hours later, get on a court and be number one for the first time in program history. That was just an awful lot going on, and Vanderbilt rightly seized the moment and pulled off the big win. With, I'm thinking that was Shane Foster on the court back then. I filed some video and I tweeted it out with a picture from that game, and I think that's Shane in the picture. I didn't tag him in it, though. But, you know, the difference here, Tennessee has won 12 straight. They kind of been expecting that one of these weeks maybe they get up to number one, and with all the things that happened last week, it wasn't a shock when the poll came out yesterday. Let's put it this way. Tennessee's athletic department sure had a little graphic quickly ready to go when the poll moved. So this team, it's experienced. It's lots of senior leadership. And then you're coming up against a team that, according to KenPom, Vandy has got the 305th team in the country. In what? Experience. So there's a lot of differences here.
Patricia, how much if things don't get turned around for Bryce Drew this year, how much pressure is on him? As, you know, you got the new athletics director coming in, taking over in February, Malcolm Turner. How much pressure not only on Bryce Drew, but also Stephanie White for that matter as well?
Well, got to think that the pressure is on Stephanie maybe a bit more, because there's been a lot of turnover on that roster and frankly, not a lot of success. Now, granted, she walked into a situation that was completely rebuild mode from the get-go. But, you know, let's not forget, Bryce Drew came in and with what was left over, he managed an NCAA tournament appearance that first year. Now, yes, last year was painful. It was ugly, but you knew what was coming in the door this year. And, you know, guess what? There is an asterisk around this season. Darius Garland is a talent that if he were available for this game tomorrow night, this might be college basketball game that has been the most anticipated and most thrilling opportunity since that 2008 Memphis-Tennessee game I mentioned, Johnny. So, you know, but he's not, and they've just struggled to adapt without him and figure out the way they need to play. And this is, as I mentioned, a young team, and they're trying to grow up. And Saturday night after the game, Bryce Drew mentioned, if you've got a remedy, a play or something he can do to get, where practice is getting his guys the needed experience that they're trying to get and are getting with every single game, let him know. But, he's trying to grow these kids up in a hurry and doing it in an SEC, Johnny, that is not what it was even 3-4 years ago. Let's face it, this league is a much tougher league. I counted up 16 in the top 25 yesterday when that poll came out. That's a lot. Let's not forget, just, 3 years ago, the talk was, well, maybe the SEC could get 5-6 teams in the NCAA tournament. Now they've got, forget the NCAA tournament, they got 6 in the top 25. Things have changed. So, and he's got some good recruits coming into next season as well. So, things are looking pretty good on the men's side, and although I know if you're a Vanderbilt fan, that's not what you want to hear right now.
Well, and I'm going to say right now, I don't want to hear that either, especially when you're talking about how much money he's getting paid to be a head coach for a Power 5 conference team like a Vanderbilt, and the fact that it's almost like you're setting your team up with excuses already before they take on their next opponent or opponents down the road. I don't want to hear that if I'm a fan of Vanderbilt. You're hired to come up with solutions, but to throw something out there so nonchalantly like that, I'm not going down that path with him. I don't think that's what fans of Vanderbilt wants to hear either.
Well, come on, Johnny. He's not telling that to the players. Trust me.
The players hear everything.
Well, guess what? It's the 21st century, and it happens. But, guess what? Vandy fans are wanting to see what they thought they were going to see, and it didn't happen. I don't think Bryce Drew has got any magic wand or transfer portal or something that can change the fact that the best player that they were anticipating having is not available because of injury. It happens.
And you have to be prepared for those kind of things to happen. You have to be prepared with leadership in the off season, not just around one player. And these are the things I'm talking about. A lot of these issues we're talking about, I don't know if your record is dramatically improved, but certainly the style and play as far as how games end could have been improved if you anticipate certain things happening during the course of a season. Because you have to play out all these roles, the what ifs, if you're a coach before a season gets started.
Well, that's a wonderful thing to happen, and it's certainly an admirable goal, Johnny. But, he's got one senior on this roster. He's got, a couple of juniors. Matt Ryan's a transfer. He sat out last year. How can you get a lot of leadership from a guy who, was able to practice but couldn't play last year? And suddenly this is a different team. Why? Because you've got Chatou and Neesmith, and you thought you were going to have Garland. This, it's tough to change things up on the fly, and it's tough to have that many backup plans, for a team that, let's face it, this is a much different team than they had last year.
Let's change subjects. Let's turn attention to the Tennessee Titans. Your thoughts, Arthur Smith. This is one of those that we just don't know. He's been a part of the Tennessee Titans since 2011, part of four head coaches there with the Titans. This past season, coaching up the tight ends, the new offensive coordinator, we don't know if he's going to be successful or not. Your thoughts as far as, from the positive standpoint, you're talking about consistency, continuity, but from the, I wouldn't say necessarily negative, but the unknown factors, because we don't know how this is going to play out.
We don't know, but what we do know is that Delanie Walker, who's worked with him for his, for his entirety here with the Titans, and Taylor Lewan, left tackle, who is, rather involved, plays alongside a lot of these left tight ends. Guess what? They were raving about this decision yesterday in the announcement. So they know the man. Now, I'll say this, Johnny. I know that fans aren't excited that, they'd heard all these other names. Well, if Arthur Smith's name had been bandied about as possibly going to other teams, there'd be more buzz factor, and that seems to be why people are disappointed. You know, you didn't hear his name being bandied about with this team or that team, and you know, and yes, he has not been a play caller beforehand. But you know, when you're coaching tight end, you are involved in both the run game and in the pass game. And you know, Mike Vrabel's statement. It'd be nice if we get a chance to talk to Arthur and Mike and find out exactly what the reasonings are here. You know, what they see out of this offense moving forward. But this comes down on the day when they're heading down to the Senior Bowl, because you know that's the time of year where they're looking at the talent to improve this roster. But you know, continuity is absolutely there. This is a voice that Marcus Mariota is going to be familiar with, and the rest of that team is as well. And you know, I've heard people say, "Oh my God, it's Mike Mularkey, Terry Rubisky, Matt LaFleur." This is a different guy. This is a guy who has worked his way up from, you know, doing quality control work, which is the grunt of grunt work in coaching, where you're putting in tons of hours and you're doing cut-ups and all this stuff. We're going to have to just wait and see. You know, he's a Memphis name. We know that he does not have to be doing this. He does not have to be grinding as hard as he is. So, but as far as success, guess what? We're going to have to wait and see, and that's the thing that I think makes people so nervous about what's going on, because, you know, if you had a brand name, you could kind of project and understand what it might be. Right now, we're kind of waiting to see.
By the way, as far as basketball-wise, the Lady Vols, Holly Warwick, after getting off, you know, winning the first conference game, now five consecutive losses, first time in the history of the program, and here they are getting ready to take on the number one ranked team in the country coming up later this week on Thursday, as far as in Notre Dame. You know, your thoughts about what's happening right now with the Lady Vols?
It's not good, and let's be honest, Notre Dame, number one team in the country, comes in Thursday night, and with what we've seen over these last five games, I heard what Holly said last night. Young team, they played with effort last night, but, you know, and yes, we all knew this was going to be a young team this year. But to lose five straight for the first time in program history, it's tough. You know, she's committed to her, you know, she's been a Lady Vol for most of her life. And unfortunately, this is not up to Lady Vol standards. You know, you can talk about dip, rebuild, all whatever you want to, but this is, you know, Pat stepped down in, what, 2012? This is 2019. So, you know, we're talking about a program that is fully Holly Warlick's, and, you know, she's not even competing in the SEC at this point. She dropped out of the top 25. The only question is, you know, is Phil Fulmer going to be patient, and with all her, you know, the life that she spent there in Knoxville with that program, or is there going to be, with declining attendance, is there going to be pressure? We already see it on social media, man, that she'd have been fired last week if some people had their way. But, you know, Fulmer's the one who's going to have to make that decision, and, you know, he's the only one who can answer that question.
Yeah, I heard some people talking today at lunchtime, and they were talking about the fact that, well, because this means so much to her, maybe she'll just step down at the end of the season, make it easy on everybody. I have never seen a coach step down just because I've been around coaches, a part of teams that were 2-25, and they thought they could still get the job done. So I don't see that being a possibility. Now, she may step down instead of, you know, coming down at the end where you want to be fired or you want to resign. Either way, you're still getting the same amount of money as far as compensation, but it's just a matter of wording as far as the final press release, for example.
There has never been a coach who ever coached who thought they couldn't win if they were just given more time. It's that simple. And, you know, she does have a good recruiting class on tap for this next year. The problem is this. You know, are we seeing these young kids get better? And unfortunately, Arkansas and Alabama, those are games that on paper were teams that they coulda, shoulda beaten. And when you see that they don't, and not being able to, you know, they're getting leads and then they can't hold on to them. I remember last year when they were at Notre Dame, they were up by double digits, ended up losing by double digits. So there's a lot of questions about how her ability to coach in games, and we're just not, you know, where's the proof? Where's the hope that she can get this turned around? Because guess what? Right now, you know, legacy, history, tradition probably gets them into the NCAA tournament, you know, regardless of what happens this season. But this is a program that is scrapping to get into the tournament. You know, the idea of competing for a Final Four, that just doesn't seem to be possible this year with this team. And let's face it, that's the standard that Pat Summitt left.
Teresa Walker with the Associated Press. Yesterday, the Nashville Predators taking care of business on the road against Colorado, winning by 3-4, which stopped the two-game losing streak. You know, the Predators losing on Thursday to Winnipeg and over the weekend to the Florida Panthers. With that win yesterday, they find themselves now just 2 points again behind Winnipeg as far as the Central is concerned. Does Nashville have enough pieces right now to make a run as far as the playoffs? What are your concerns at this point as we get ready to go and down the home stretch?
Johnny, of course they've got enough pieces to get in the playoffs. The question is, do they have the pieces to beat the Winnipeg Jets? And, you know, based on last Thursday night's game, the answer would be no, because guess what? The Jets didn't even have Bufflin on the ice that night.
Right.
And he is just a big, big, big guy and piece of that. Now, are they going to get Kyle Turris back at any point in the near future? David Poile, you know, he said that he was going to wait and watch that Jets game and see. But, you know, right now, I won't be surprised if he does make a move before the trade deadline, because, you know, to have a chance to win a Stanley Cup, you're going to have to get past the Winnipeg Jets. And, you know, they've won now, how many games is it in their building? Four of the last five, is it? They won three in the postseason in that seven-game series, including Game 7, and they took that game that night. So, you know, they're proving that they can easily win in Nashville, making home ice irrelevant. You've got to find a way to get past the Jets if you want to have a chance at that cup.
Do you think it's one of these things, too, that they may experiment around as far as changing up the lines as well? Maybe that being a possibility if they don't want to go the direction of adding more pieces? Because I'm like you. Making the playoffs is not the question. It's once you get there, can you make the run? If you are against Winnipeg, can you get by Winnipeg in a series?
Well, and that's a good question. I mean, we saw last week against the Capitals, you know, he paired P.K. Subban and Roman Josi together, a defensive pairing we had not really seen for any amount of time at all, actually, and looks like they're going to keep him that way. But, you know, are they going to move some pieces around on the other three lines? You don't touch the Jofa line. I'm sorry. You know, the one thing that we've seen with the return of Forsberg and Arvey, now 11 goals in 14 games since he came back from the broken thumb, you know, that's working just fine. And the good thing is tomorrow night against Vegas, when they play their last game before the All-Star break, you know, they'll have the line back together again. Bonino has started scoring a little bit. You know, Watson's shown some promise. You know, Peter Laviolette and his staff, they're going to have to figure out how much tweaking do they do, you know, to try to, you know, to get things revved up. Or maybe, Johnny, sometimes your team just needs a break. And, you know, this All-Star break, once they play tomorrow night, they're not going to play again until a week from Friday. Sometimes a little rest can be the pick-me-up that you need.